Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I'm Derek. I'm 19 years old, and I've been in the program 8 months. I first experimented with drugs when I was in grade 7. I started smoking pot. Later on, I started playing competitive hockey. I started taking Adderall. I started off with 30 milligrams, then moved on to 60 milligrams, and I quickly got addicted. This is when my life took a turn for the worse. There was a lot of high expectations with my dad, expectations that were hard to meet. And I thought drugs was a shortcut, but it was like going to a hot tub. It's hot at first to get into, but once you get into it, you just can't get yourself out. It's like quicksand. And yeah, it was a dark time. God blessed me with the gift of being good at hockey, and the drugs ruined that for me. So I ended up getting arrested for mischief. I got caught stealing $7,000 worth of TVs and computers, and it was a bad time. I've never had an arrest before that. So my mom got me my own apartment while I was attending court. Started using lots of prescription drugs. I was going to music festivals, using ecstasy. I started using cocaine, Xanax, smoking lots of pot. I was drinking. When my apartment lease ended, I moved in with my dad. And my dad had recently bought a house up in the Sioux, so I had a whole house to myself. I started using cocaine. I quit all my jobs. Dropped out of school a second time. And this when I was 18. And I got into check fraud to support my habit. And it sucked. I wasn't thinking about the future. I was very ungrateful growing up. I thought everything was going to be handed out to me. And I was very full of myself. And that's one thing I'm working on right now. Teen Challenge has changed my life. I have confidence in myself. I've learned how to be a little bit more grateful. That's something I'm still overcoming. And but God's really helped me. And I actually have hopes for my future now. I want to join the military, and I want to serve the country while at the same time serving God. And that's something that I couldn't have seen 2 years ago or even a year ago. So praise God for that. Scripture I'd like to leave with you is from Proverbs. It's, "The Lord is your security. He will help you from your foot being caught in a trap." Thank you for listening to me. Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh's army got grounded.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned.
Yep.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Moses stood on the Red Sea shore and smote the water with a 2x4.
Yes, and the Pharaoh's army got drowned.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mr. Satan, he got mad. He missed that soul that he thought he had.
The Pharaoh's army got drowned.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Don't mourn.
Pharaoh's army got drowned.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Bring it down now.
One, a two.
Since the Garden of Eden was making a noise.
He's trying to tell us we don't have a choice.
Only Satan is crafty but factualized.
He is nothing if not overflowing with lies.
I mean everything here that he shouts in my ear.
He's a road to deceive me to make me feel fear.
Make me lose all my hope.
Make me go back to dope.
But I know that's a rope that gets
till I get drunk.
Till I get broke.
Ouch.
His power is powerless. Devil's got nothing on me.
He's a sneak
flea. He's resisting. I am free.
We are free.
The blood of the Lamb on my testimony. I have overcome Satan. I think you'll agree when I glorify God.
Tell the story of God.
My faith and my trust and my hope in my God. I can stand on His word and be strong and courageous. So Mary, don't mourn. I know it looks bad. There's no reason to hope.
There's
reason to glorify God. Trials are hard. God made a way out, and He called the way Jesus, and Jesus came near. We'll be rebuilt.
Devil thought he'd won the day, but Jesus rolled the stone away.
And Pharaoh's army got drowned.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Brothers and sisters, don't you moan. He'll come back to bring us home.
Pharaoh's army got drowned.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Again now, they got drowned.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Mary, don't, Mary, don't, Mary, don't weep no more.
Oh,
tell Mama not to moan. Said,
Pharaoh's army got drowned.
Come on now. They got drowned one time.
Whoa.
They got drowned two times.
Whoa, whoa.
They got drowned three times.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
They got drowned four times.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, oh, Mary.
Thank you, folks.
Good morning, church. Thank you for having us. We are the Teen Challenge Choir, and we're here to spread a special message of hope and of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. Take a good look at these men behind me here. Just a few months ago, these men, including myself, were at the lowest point in their lives. Some hopeless, some up on charges, some in prison, some overdosing, some suicidal, all caught up in the throes of a crippling addiction. The healing power of our Lord and Savior through the ministry of Teen Challenge has saved our lives. He has given us hope and joy to get up on stage singing songs of praise and worship to share that hope with you guys. We're here because we believe that somebody in this congregation needs to hear what we're here to say. So listen to our testimonies, feel free to join in with the songs, and we hope you enjoy our presentation.
Thanks, Ruben.
Hello, my name is Tony, and I'm 19. I'm currently in my fifth month of the program. I come from a large family with three brothers and three sisters, me being the second youngest. My childhood, or what remained of it, was good. At the age of nine, I remember being told my brother went missing. 1 week later, being pulled out of school with my other older brother and my father crying as they tried to explain to me that he had taken his own life. As I sat in the back seat, my world was shattered. The funeral was devastating, and at a young age, learning a lot about my brother and his addiction and struggle with drugs. 9 months go by, and my parents get into a fight, caused me and my sister and my younger brother having to go to my sister's house for a short time. After being there about a week, learning my dad had also taken his own life with the use of drugs. This had left me broken, at the age of 10, confused and not trusting anyone, so I never got close to anyone, as well as desensitized to death. And what was left of my childhood, I felt was robbed, not believing there was a God, because if there was, why would he let this happen? At the age of 12, I started experimenting with pot, and by the age of 13, started experimenting with harder drugs. No one could tell me no. I was the man of the house. My other older brother moved out shortly after my dad left us. I felt as if I raised myself, my widowed mother working to support me and my older sister and my younger brother. By the age of 14, getting hooked to meth. By 16, I had done every drug I could find or knew about, dropping out of school at the age of 15 to remain in my lifestyle, stealing from my widowed mother, family, and friends to support my habit. I started working various jobs to keep a place in the lifestyle I wanted. If I got kicked out, renting with a friend, a sister, or bouncing around, burning every bridge I could, family, friends, selling drugs on top of working to have what I wanted, working for the devil. My mother used to say to me, my friends are bad influences, but it was never them, it was always me. I kept seeking something to fill the hole in my heart that I felt my family had left there. On top of that, being in and out of the hospital for attempts at my own life, a handful of times doctors had saved my life. Not caring or knowing the significance of my own life, hitting what felt like worse and worse rock bottoms over and over again. Managed to get a youth record for multiple things, including a DUI, a break and enter, and at the age of 14, reading about myself in the paper. But it didn't matter. Drugs numbed every emotion. Getting fired from my job in construction for abusing substances at work. At the time, my employer offered to pay for my long-term treatment, and I declined. While in the act of addiction, I met my girlfriend. We used together while we first started dating, and months of struggling to get clean and constantly causing each other to stumble. In an attempt to have a normal life, tired of the drug life, I felt like it was all I knew, I reached out to my mother. And not long after, me and my girlfriend were there. Before that point, I hadn't talked to my family for about half a year. I heard about Teen Challenge from my brother who graduated the program in 2015. My mother offered to help support both me and my girlfriend financially, and at this point, I started my intake and I got in touch with my former boss again. Started going to church with him for the few Sundays I was at my mother's. He offered to pay for my program still, as well as letting me know he would hire me if I finished the program. By then, I had an entry date, and thanks to my sisters for helping me with that, I was in the program in about a month's time. At that point, I did not feel like coming to rehab for a year, but I knew how much pain my family had endured, and getting me back in touch only to leave again, I knew I couldn't do. Knowing I could never do it on my own, on July 28th, I entered the program. Since being in Teen Challenge, I have been and will continue to work on myself, such as anger and a few other character flaws, working on relationships I have destroyed and trust I have lost. I could never do it without the help of God, learning more about having a relationship with God and people on a daily basis. Being sober has been the biggest challenge of my life, but the most rewarding, learning who I am again and what life means besides drugs. It's a whole new outlook for me, and it's not easy on hard days. But remembering what it's done to my family, I pull myself out of that mind state one day at a time. For the first time in my life, I have hope and opportunities for the future, and the most clean time I've ever had, working on my GED. I'm not 100% where I'm going to be working after, but knowing I have options available is a blessing. I'd like to close with the scripture, knowing everything has a reason. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called to, according to his purpose. Romans 8:28.
Nice. Thanks, Tony.
All the things I've learned, the greatest I believe is that the love of God is here and that he keeps me in my ways, that the Savior gave me life and the Spirit set me free, and there's nothing that can take the precious love of God away.
If I falter and I fall, in the night or in the day, mercy comes as I repent and rest in hope that I am saved. He is faithful to forgive. If I call upon his name, there is nothing I can say. The precious love of God away.
Neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor death nor life, nor nobody scheming, ever come along and separate us from the love of God. Neither present nor future, nor trials and tribulations, hunger nor hatred, there ain't nothing in creation that could ever come along and separate
from the love of God.
His love is like an ocean. His love is like a flood. It pours over my soul and it washes out the mud. In his waters I remain for the measure of my days. And there's nothing that could take the precious love of God away.
Oh, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor death, nor life, nor nobody scheming that ever come along and separate us from the love of God. Neither present nor future, nor trials and tribulations, hunger nor hatred, there ain't nothing in creation
that could ever come along
and separate us
from the love of God.
When we call out for his spirit and the love that he supplies, we begin to see with all the saints the truth beyond our mortal minds, far beyond the farthest reaches of width and length and depth and height, of the extravagant dimensions of the love of God in Christ.
No greater love I know is found than the love that gives life with a life let down. Neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor death nor life, nor nobody scheming could ever come along and separate us from the love of God.
Pour it out now.
Neither height nor depth,
your love out.
From the love of God.
What is reality? Reality is moving around so much in your childhood that you always feel like an outsider and struggle even to accept yourself. Reality is getting into your parents' liquor cabinet at the age of 12, finding the coping mechanism that you'd always been looking for. Reality is spending the next 14 years using whatever you can get your hands on. Reality is losing your dream job paddling whitewater internationally and coming back to mom and dad's with nothing. Reality is stealing anything worth anything, losing everything and ending up homeless with no friends or family around. Reality is attempting to take your own life by, you know, smoking enough fentanyl one night to kill a large number of this congregation. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Reality is, at the age of 14, you start drinking to fit in to the popular crowd because you can't say no. Reality is finding out you're bipolar, continue to use drugs to self-medicate and to cope. Reality is you begin using ambulances as taxis, not remembering being picked up, but only remember waking up. Reality is your addiction is so out of control, you fall off a two-story building, remembering nothing and waking up in a hospital, zip-tied down to a bed, and still not realizing you're not okay. Reality is you become trapped in the idea that performance brings glory, doing cocaine daily to try to achieve perfection, only be walked off your own job site after 13 years of service, feeling broken and ashamed. How do I know this is reality? Because this was me.
Reality is, you are told by your teachers you are not smart enough to go to university or college when you were in elementary school. Reality is, in grade 12, you were told your mom has cancer and only has 3 to 6 months to live. Reality is, you see your mom take her last breath and dies in front of you, and what's left of your heart shatters into pieces. Reality is, through pain and suffering, you shoot up crystal meth and cocaine to deal with the pain. Reality is, you are suicidal and feel hopeless and abandoned. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
We all have different realities, but we've all been transformed by the same truth. The truth is that I've now been sober 7 times longer than any time consecutively in the past 14 years. The truth is that I no longer need drugs as a coping mechanism. You know, the truth is that I no longer associate my favorite activities with using. They're just my favorite activities. The truth is that on our recent Ottawa tour, my loving family came to 4 of our 10 outreach, or our 9 outreaches, sorry, and many of the bridges that I've burnt have been mended. The truth is that through Teen Challenge, I found meaning and purpose in my life, and I found my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Truth is, my God is a God of second chances. Truth is, my Heavenly Father made me the way I am, and I no longer believe that I am a mistake, because my Heavenly Father doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
Truth is that I now believe that God began a good work in me, and He promises to finish it. Truth is, God is revealing to me my character defects and I'm beginning to work on them. Truth is, God was breaking me down, but now He's rebuilding me from the ground, a new creation for His glory.
Truth is, I've graduated with a university degree and college diploma by God's helping hand.
Yeah.
Truth is, my mom lived for another 2 years by God's grace. Truth is, my mom is truly healed and is spending eternity with our Heavenly Father, and I will see her again. Truth is, I am now healing and now have a new relationship with Christ. And truth is, God is so much bigger than anxiety, depression, addiction, and even death. Amen.
Second Corinthians 13, verses 7 and 8 tell us, Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we should appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth.
First John 5, 6. This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one with, that testifies, and the Spirit is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He will wipe away from them every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things have passed away. Revelation 24:1.
And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth."
Right. And the truth shall set you free.
Lovely.
All right. One, two, one, two, three, go.
Boom shaka, boom shaka, never going back.
Come on now.
Back. Boom shaka, locka, never going back, Jack.
That's right.
A captive held in Egypt, like a slave tied up in chains. I was broken down and locked up as I watched my future fade. I thought I had to stay forever until the bitter end was bound. How can you see beyond the lies when all you see is falling down?
Then a whisper in the morning went to a shout of hope, as the message of a savior came to light to pull me out. And just like Moses led God's children, the Spirit led me on. I'm through a desert of deliverance to the place that I call home.
So when the big deceiver's knocking at my door, and drag me back to where I was before, tell old Pharaoh that I know the score, and I'm never going back to Egypt.
Not me.
God showed me, in spite of all, that I've been made brand new.
Right.
For the flames of His forgiveness burn the darkness from my past, leaving love and patience, joy and peace, and I know this will last.
So when the bad deceiver's knocking at my door, trying to drag me back to where I was before, I can tell old Carol that I know the score.
Not gonna go now.
I found out it's not bread alone I need, but the words that come from heaven above. Every time my Savior speaks,
every time my Savior
to the promised place, and He brought me to believe that He stands beside me for all time and will give me all I need. So I will not greet the tempter, I will cast down every thought that seeks to rise above the one who gave me all I've got.
Oh, and the pit deceiver's knocking at my where I was before. I tell old Pharaoh that I know the score. Yes, and I'm never going back to Egypt.
I'm
gonna find my camel, I will jump the train. He's gonna ride my heart into the forest. He's gonna
going back, Jack.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff. I'm 38 years old, and I'm from Crystal Beach, Ontario. I'm a father to three beautiful daughters. I'm also a son, a brother, an uncle, and up until 3 months ago, I was hopeless, suicidal, and addicted to heroin. When I was a small child, I suffered trauma that left me hurt, confused, and angry, and also robbed me of my trust for grown-ups. That anger followed me through my childhood, getting me into trouble at school for fighting and being disrespectful to anyone in authority. When I was 12, I got my first criminal charge for stealing, and at 14, I was put into foster care because my parents couldn't handle me any longer. I felt abandoned, alone, and very angry, and at the age of 15, I spent a year in a lockdown unit of a youth correctional center. This would start a 17-year cycle of being either incarcerated or on bail or other court-ordered conditions. I was married at the age of 22 and started a family. My two oldest daughters have seen me arrested and taken away in handcuffs more times than I like to admit, and this breaks my heart. I still struggle with this reality today. I had a nice home, a nice truck, a job with the city when I received a prescription for OxyContin from my doctor. Within a year, I'd lost all those things and started to inject heroin. I've spent most of my adult life as a hopeless junkie. I've been hospitalized on numerous occasions for infections due to unsafe injection. Once I was admitted to the Hamilton General Hospital for 4 weeks with an infection so bad, they were considering amputation as a treatment. Fortunately, they managed to save my foot, but I still to this day don't have feeling in two of my baby toes. Another time I had a blood infection that was so bad I was admitted to ICU in critical condition. I do not have much of a relationship with my daughters because of my heroin addiction. In the summer of 2017, I was broken and I was sad. I wanted to stop doing drugs, but did not know any other way to live. It was becoming harder to find heroin, but there was an abundance of very cheap and very potent fentanyl on the street. I was robbing, stealing, and begging to get drugs. I was trying to die, and I'd do as much fentanyl as possible without clogging the needle in hopes I'd not wake up. One day I was contacted by Marty, a Teen Challenge graduate who had heard of my situation from a friend of a family member who was also a Teen Challenge graduate. I met Marty the next day for coffee and we talked for hours. We talked about my life, his life, and about the love and power of Jesus Christ. I felt for once in my life, somebody understood me and did not care how awful I was. I stayed in close contact with Marty, and he took me to a men's worship meeting in Welland, Ontario called Redeemed Lives. They have a Bible verse on the wall there from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This verse has grown to be one of my favorites. I met some rock-solid Christian men there. They are amazing role models and truly care for me. Although I had some great people now in my life, I still could not tame my addiction. In March of 2018, I had hit rock bottom. It was very cold and I was living on the streets. I'd used the bank machine lobby at CIBC or the 24-hour McDonald's to get warm. I hated myself and I wanted to die. I thought God was punishing me for all the wrong I'd done in my life and all the people I'd hurt. I can now reflect on this and see he was not punishing me. He was protecting me because he loves me and has plans for me. At a Redeemed Lives meeting one particular Wednesday evening, I stood up and confessed to the guys there what I'd been doing and that I was broken and could no longer go on. They laid hands on me that night and prayed for me and offered their support. One of the guys there talked to me about going to Teen Challenge. And one night, a few weeks later, the guys from Teen Challenge came there to give their testimonies. That night, I met the development officer, who is also a graduate of the program, and he encouraged me to apply. Three students spoke that night, and I was deeply moved by what one of them shared. It was very similar to what I was going through. While at Teen Challenges, this man found peace in his life, he had relationships restored, and he gave all the glory to God. This gave me hope that I too could change if I put in the effort. That was 14 challenge graduates that God had put in my path over a one-year span. I could no longer deny he was opening a door for me to enter the Teen Challenge program. On August 7th, 2018, I entered Teen Challenge physically, spiritually, and emotionally broken. I still wanted to die. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I was ready for rest. I could not take the chaos and pain of my lifestyle any longer. The first month in the program, I cried every day. Being sober for the first time in a long time, I was forced to deal with the pain of my past and the pain I had caused others. This was incredibly hard. It is still incredibly hard, but in faith, I have put my trust in Jesus to heal my pain. I tried every day to leave the program for various reasons, from lack of coffee to not liking the rules. And thankfully, there is an army of staff members, volunteers, and my Teen Challenge brothers who took the time every day to encourage me, lift me up in prayer, and show me an unconditional love.
Yes.
I felt I was not worthy of love, but through God's grace and forgiveness, I now know that I am worthy. I am so, so grateful that I stayed, because God promises that things will get better, and they have. I have settled in and started the healing process. With the help of my counselor, I have worked on issues of grief over the loss of my father and trauma from my childhood. I've learned to forgive those that have hurt me in the past, and most importantly, I've learned to forgive myself. I've learned how to receive and share love with others. I've learned that crying or asking for help is not a sign of weakness. I've learned the power of prayer. I've learned to accept no as an answer and a compromise. I'm learning to respect authority, and I've learned the difference between a need and a want. And most importantly, I've learned the healing power of Jesus Christ. There is a printout that hangs up on the bulletin board at Teen Challenge. It's nothing fancy or flashy, just a plain piece of white paper with black writing on it. The heading says, "Christ gave man a new way to live." And underneath it, it says, "You show wisdom by trusting your brother. You handle leadership by serving. You handle offenders by forgiving. You handle money by sharing. You handle enemies by loving. And you handle violence by suffering." I am so grateful that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin so that I could have a new way to live. On August 24, 2018, I was baptized in water as a public declaration of my sinful past, accepting Jesus as my personal Savior and my desire to live a new life and let my old life die. I'm hoping that in the coming months, I can continue to grow spiritually and deal with the hurt and guilt of my past. I'm hoping to restore broken relationships with my children and other loved ones I've hurt through my addiction. I look forward to doing service and hopefully helping others who are suffering with addiction or the effects of addiction. I'm hoping to go back to work and live a peaceful life free of chaos and sin. I'd like to close with this. I still struggle with old behaviors like anger and pride. Some days are worse than others, but my heart is softened and I'm making progress. I'd like to share a quote with you from Tony Robbins that I have on a photo beside my bed. It was given to me by my three-year-old daughter, Ariana, the last time I saw her before I came to Teen Challenge. It says, "No matter how many mistakes you make or how slow your progress, you're still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying." Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Well done. All right, well, seeing as it's December and we've been doing our Christmas concerts already, we're going to do you one of the songs, just one Christmas song from our concert.
Somebody talk.
born a little baby in Bethlehem.
Somebody talking about Jesus.
Oh, glory be to the newborn King. His love and light will make the whole world sing.
Shepherds, yeah. And the wise men too.
Somebody talking about Jesus.
They didn't waste no time when they heard the news.
Somebody talking about Jesus.
They followed the star to where the baby lay.
Singing glory, hallelujah, it's a brand new day.
Everywhere I go, everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I see somebody talking about
Jesus. Somebody talking about Jesus.
Everywhere I go, somebody talking about Jesus.
Now,
somebody talking about Jesus.
I said,
somebody talking about.
All right. Well, let's bring Mike out, huh? This is Mike. Let's give it up for Mike, please.
Well, good morning here on Chapel.
What, Mike? One joke limit. One joke limit.
You guys are such a good-looking bunch. I'm going to take a selfie.
This counts as a joke.
I'm out after this.
I thought his whole presentation was the joke.
Oh! Wait, who's going to press the button? Aaron, come on down. I need you guys to shove in. I didn't get everybody. I'm just kidding. Well, thank you for having us. This is amazing. Let's give a hand for this choir. After I joined, they started calling it a bunch of men and a couple of microphones rather than a choir, so stay tuned. So we're here to talk about Teen Challenge. How many people have heard of Teen Challenge? Wow, that's a full house. Amen. We want to thank you so much for having us. As Jim said, we've been coast to coast like butter on toast doing these choir concerts, so that's awesome. But I'm going to tell you a bit of my story. So we're going to get really serious now. No, I mean it. So when I came in the program, I was a church guy. So I had been in church for 10 years when I came in. I had promised my wife to love, honor, and cherish. And I basically, the same story as Jeff. I got a prescription from my doctor for OxyContin. And, we were so involved in the church. It took me, I just dove right in. I left my marriage. Within a year, I lost everything. So I didn't have any friends in the world. Everybody I knew was from church. And it was very debilitating. By the time I was done, I had like a mattress in a room. That was all I had left. And the guilt that you feel when you're already a believer and something like that happens, it was, as the Bible says, 10 times worse. When I came in, it was there was a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. So what happened was I was thinking, you know, when I first came in the program, I cried out to God, by the way, and through a number of things that had nothing to do with me, I was brought right into the program. And, you know, it's God's grace, and I learned that after. You know, I learned that lesson now. So when I came in the program, I thought, you know, my marriage is going to be restored. So many things are going to work out for me. And month 5, Christmas Eve day, I received divorce papers. We had been married 10 years. You know, and all I could remember all those months was the sound of my little boys crying at the window, "Daddy, please don't go." And it just continued to haunt me all during that time. So I went to Chatham, which is, does anybody know Chatham? Okay, I'm not going to tell a joke. I went to Chatham to deal with matters of custody and support. Basically, they drive you down, and my wife was sitting there, and there was no life in her eyes for us. She wasn't looking at me. So when I got back, I was walking around. Has anybody been to the farm? I was walking around the blacktop outside and just saying, you know, Lord, I'm back. I'm yours. What's going on? And you know what he said? Maybe you've heard this scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so in month 5, end of 5 in my program, my counselor said, I have to see you after lunch. And I walked into his office, and my wife was sitting there. And we reconciled our marriage. And another surprise for you, I graduated almost 10 years ago. And so, yes, give the Lord a hand for that. So now, this is us shortly after we reconciled in 2010. You know, this is us. There's our cat, Panther. Got to give him a shout out. And this year, we celebrated 19 years of marriage. So I should really have my wedding ring, but yes, 19 years. My son is now 13. I remember him being 5 years old and so scarred by this, but you know, there's healing. My scripture is, he is able to bring beauty from the ashes. If you're going through a situation like that, that is, you know, what God has spoken into our lives. So, and I'm going to tell you a bit about the program. How many people want to know about the program? How many people want to go to the program? It's 12 months. You just live there. All right. Let's go. First slide. Has anybody read The Cross and the Switchblade? Awesome. We have it at the back if you haven't read it. It's a real story of faith. David Wilkerson, 1958 was when the ministry started. But it started very humbly. He felt led to pray that last hour at night instead of watching the news. And so he actually, this is a true story. I think it's probably TV came out that year or something. Is that right?
No.
Okay. It is for me. He put his TV on Kijiji. Was Kijiji there then? Or? Okay, so I think it was the papers, the newspaper. Sorry. I get this stuff mixed up all the time.
Why do you keep looking at me?
I don't know. So this is a true story. He, you know, it was like a fleece, and he said, "If the TV sells, I'm going to dedicate this time to the Lord and see what He has for me." He was already a small Pennsylvania pastor, and 5 minutes before that time was up that he allotted, somebody called, and he sold the TV, and he spent that time in prayer. And one of the first things that happened was an article from Time Magazine, 7 boys on trial for murder. I don't know if you remember this. And he felt led to go. He felt a real burden to go and minister to these guys. That's why it's called Teen Challenge. How many people thought teens were coming today? All right, well, we always get one hand, and that's great. But if it's true, I'm one of the older teens at Teen Challenge. So keep that in mind. But David Wilkerson, he went to New York, and how many people know he was set free? He got those boys out of jail, and it was actually the opposite. He was kicked out of the courtroom. And that's the humble beginnings of Teen Challenge. Standing in the foyer, he had this big Bible, and they said, "Hey, preacher, what are you holding there?" And he held it up, and it was snapped a photo on the front of the New York Times. And he was feeling very discouraged. But how many know God's ways are higher than our ways? And he stayed on the streets. He actually stayed in his car and preached. And, there was a young man named Nicky Cruz, one of the heads of the gangs. And just like the book of Acts, this guy, he said to him, "This is my turf. Stop speaking in the name of Jesus." And he said, "Or I'll cut you." Actually, he pulled a knife on him. And David Wilkerson, full of the Spirit and full of love, said, "Nicky, you can cut me up in a million pieces and every part will cry out, Jesus loves you." And, he invited the gang members, and 5 minutes to the time, there was nobody in the auditorium. He prayed again, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I just give this to you." 2,500 gang members trickled into the auditorium. And down on their knees after the service, all these gang members given their heart to the Lord. And that's the start of Teen Challenge. This is Nicky Cruz handing over the bat for the Bible. His weapon of choice for the weapon of the Word of God. And so that's how the ministry started. Nicky Cruz still travels today. I don't know, many of you know Wilkerson passed away in 2011. I actually presented at a church the week after. So next slide. And how many people been to the farm? Awesome. Well, this is taken from our private helicopter here, aerial snapshot. I'm kidding. We don't have a private helicopter. Wrong message. If you ever want to come out, we have cards at the back. You can come for a tour. We'll treat you to lunch. Speaking of lunch, guys do all the work details in the program. So we'll say, "Can you cook?" And they'll say no, and we'll say, "You're hired, so get down there in the kitchen." These are our centers. We're actually opening a center in Ottawa coming up. And a beautiful center has opened up in Saskatchewan. Maybe somebody's connected, seen hello? The pictures on Facebook. It's just a beautiful center. That's opening. We have a woman's center in Aurora. Has the woman's center been here? No. Yes? Okay. It's spreading out across the country. Not only that, as Pastor Ernest mentioned, we have 1,200 centers in 92 countries of the world. So that's awesome. Next slide. So sponsorship. I totally forgot. Jeff, can you grab that right by your feet there? So I'm Mike, and I'm going to call up my assistant, Mike Stand. Come on up. Oh, thanks. How you doing, Mike Stan?
Pretty good.
Excellent. This is a Teen Challenge brochure. You probably got that. Can you hold it up? I hear a lot of rustling going on there. This is our brochure, and it's a great way to get involved. We have a sponsorship program. So basically, a bunch of people sponsor one guy. The program costs about $50,000 for a guy to go through. And they pay $1,000, and it's pretty much a deterrent so that they don't leave in the first couple weeks. So sponsorship, I'm a life that was changed. Many of my friends that were in the program, this is a great way to get involved. It's $40 a month. So it's the cost of one Tim Hortons a day or one Starbucks a month. Either way, you guys can do it. And listen, if you're drinking a couple cups of coffee, sponsor Aaron here or maybe some of these other guys, these good-looking bunch. And if you're drinking five or more cups, we have a bed for you. Come see us after. We'll get you signed up. Oh, there goes the drums. I need the other stuff there, Aaron.
I was keeping it.
One of us is still in training. It's not him. Okay. No, I need you to hand me the other stuff, too. Yep. Here, hand me those cards. Here, right here. We planned this so effectively. I don't know what happened. These are video cards, so they're links to some of our graduates' awesome stories. All you do is pick up the card, go to that link, and so some awesome stories that we've done. And so listen, if you want to sponsor, you can sponsor for $40 a month, or you can do a one-time gift. The $480, a lot of people like to do that. Saves on the amount of paperwork and stuff. But we guarantee you, you can have Ruben's face on your fridge by supper time tonight. Let's give it up for Ruben. Who else we got? There's more to come. Hey, it's Jeff. How about that? Mm-hmm. Let's give it up for Jeff. And so I was going to grab a couple cards, but Derek back here said, you know, Derek was the first to speak. He said, bro, are you going to bring my card up? So I did. So Derek, you can sponsor him today. You know, there's a handful of guys here. We would love to get a sponsor for each one of them. There's roughly 100 sponsors for each guy. It literally is the bread and butter that keeps the ministry going. While secular rehabs are shutting down, we are continuing to operate by the Spirit, by the body of Christ, as a parachurch organization. Our doors never shut. While rehabs are being funded to the tune of $10,000, some of them a month, Teen Challenge is staying open, you know, for years and years, and it's all by God's grace. So, and one more thing. Jeremy, can you come up here?
Good luck, buddy.
Uh-oh. Jeremy's first week in the choir. Let's give him a hand. Wait. And the reason I bring him up is because for some reason in all the concert stuff, we only got one of his cards. So this one's going fast, you know what I'm saying? So get his card at the table. There's lots of the other ones, but Jeremy, there's only one card, so I thought that was significant. Hey, thanks, man. All right. And do we have any more slides? All right. Somebody just said, you're done. It was Ma and Pa Hosner. Actually, let's give it up for them. Ma and Pa, affectionately known as Ma and Pa, they've been traveling with the choir for years. They, you know, not all stories have a happy ending in the sense of the people that come in. They just had an anniversary a few months ago of their son that passed away on the waiting list. And so, you know, they always say, you know, now we have 50 sons. And they've been a great help to Teen Challenge, so let's give them a hand. And meet them afterwards, hear their story. And so, like I said, come see us at the table. It's a great way to get involved. And we are going to call Pastor Ernest up.
Thank you.
And one of the best ways you can support Teen Challenge, as he said, is to sponsor a student. I do. It is fun to go down to the graduations. You have one pretty much every month, three or four guys graduating, and it's real encouragement to go and see that. Be glad to have somebody come along with me for those. And how much government funding do you receive?
None.
No government funding, so it all depends on God's grace, as he said, the body of Christ. Ushers, come forward this time, please. We're going to take up a second offering. This one is specifically for Teen Challenge. You've heard some of the destruction and devastation that drugs and alcohol can cause. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of you guys know how that works in your lives. You've seen it. But Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. So praise God for his work in these people's lives, and your donations help keep that going. So let's bow and pray. Mm-hmm. Already, thank you for Teen Challenge Choir here with us today. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives and in the lives of so many that have already gone through the program. Lord, keep these men strong. Help them to get to know you better and rely on you and not have to rely on drugs and alcohol or any substance for that matter. Lord, bless these gifts that we're giving, and strengthen the body of Christ through these graduates. In Jesus' name, amen.
Three, four.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you,
and I think to myself, what a
I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful God.
All the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by.
I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying,
God. What a wonderful God.
Yes. I think to myself, what a wonderful God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my life, all my days, I will offer up all of my praise to the Lord.
I don't put my trust in princes and kings, for dust is the end of their plans. But with all of my heart, I trust in you, Lord, in the word and the blood of the Lamb.
Praise the Lord.
Put on the garment of praise.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, my soul. All my life, all my days, I will offer up. Circumstance will reveal, I will praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord.
Let's sing that chorus. I will
praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord.
Let's sing.
I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I will praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord. Amen.
I will praise the Lord. 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 I will praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord. Thank you to the Teen Challenge, to each of you, for sharing your lives with us. We're on the same journey together. And we need to remember to just keep our eye fixed on Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for what He is doing in their lives. Thank God for what He is doing in our lives, right?